This is a long corridor at Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center in Boston. It's a teaching hospital of Harvard Medical School. At the end of the hallway is a locked glass door.
Because we have radiation in here, we have to keep it locked.
And this lab is referred to as the Cantley Lab?
Yes.
Behind this door is one of the most renowned biology and biochemistry labs in the world.
We have about 27 people working in my group here. They're mostly PhD or MD-PhD postdocs. You're going to show me some data, and we can talk about that.
So we were talking about P10 and
mutation P10 correlating with the subtypes of PI3 kinase.
63-year-old Dr. Lewis Cantley, a native of Big Chimney in Kanawha County, West Virginia, leads a team working at the cutting edge of research into cancer, diabetes, and obesity, all the way from basic research to clinical trials of new drugs.
All the tumors in CBio that had PI3 kinase mutations, which were about 100.
All the endometrial cancers.
All the endometrial cancers, yeah. And then
I went to Herbert Hoover High School, graduated there, and went to West Virginia Wesleyan College, where I got a degree in chemistry. After that, I went to Cornell to get a PhD in biophysical chemistry. And having completed that in 1975, I came to Harvard as a postdoctoral fellow, where I began to study more biochemistry and a little more cell biology in those days.
Up until then, Lewis Cantley had no background in biology and didn't even like it. But when he got to Harvard, he became interested in the metabolism of cells, that is, how cells talk to each other.
How growth factors and hormones tell cells what to do, in particular, how they tell cells to grow. And in the process of doing that work, I discovered an enzyme called PI3K. It actually stands for phosphoinositide 3 kinase. And it makes an unusual lipid that had never been known to exist before. But it turns out that lipid is an absolutely critical regulator of cell growth.
And this enzyme, this PI3K that Cantley discovered back in 1985, turned out to be revolutionary in cell biology. For example, it explains the growth of a child to an adult. It explains the ability of insulin to take up glucose, which is central to diabetes.
But more importantly, it turns out that it is also the enzyme that is most frequently mutated in a variety of cancers, particularly in breast cancer, in colorectal cancer, in endometrial cancers, and the mutations that occur in this enzyme in cancer allow it to be active all the time. Normally, it's only active when you want the cell to replicate itself. For example, during growth, you would activate PI3 kinase in order for the child to grow into an adult. But once you're an adult, the only time you want to turn it on is in response to insulin, in the case where you want to move the glucose into a particular tissue like muscle or fat. Or if you have a wound that needs to be repaired, this enzyme gets activated in order to make the cells grow to repair the wound. So what happens in the cancer is that the mutations make this enzyme continuously active, so it thinks there's a wound there all the time, or it thinks that there's a growth factor telling it to grow all the time, and the consequence is the tumor grows.
But what if you block the pathway that enables cancer cells to grow? Lewis Cantley and his team are part of a worldwide effort to develop new drugs that target PI3K in different subtypes of cancer.
It's going to be a revolution in the way we treat cancer. We'll be backing away from chemotherapy, more towards targeted therapy. We'll be figuring out ways to delay the cancer. Even if we don't cure it, we're going to slow it down by these approaches.
The medical world calls this new approach personalized cancer treatment. Since Lewis Cantley's groundbreaking discovery is fundamental to our understanding both of cancer and diabetes, he's in the top 1% most cited authors in the world in three major scientific fields. But as celebrated and revered as Lewis Cantley's discovery is today, that wasn't the way it was when he first identified PI3 kinase. Initially, many scientists, especially biologists, were suspicious.
There were many labs, in fact, who initially claimed they could not reproduce our results. So they said, well, this is not right. This PI3K is not, it doesn't even exist. It doesn't do what they say it does. But that was in part because many of the people in the field were not really biochemists. They were trained as molecular biologists or cell biologists. They didn't really know how to do enzyme assays and biochemistry and purify proteins. So initially they were very suspicious that, oh, this can't really be right. It's not what everybody else is working on. It's completely way out there by itself. But that's now completely turned around. And now almost everybody in cancer is interested in PI3K.
Indeed, the discovery of PI3K was nothing less than a paradigm shift, according to Dr. Ji Luo, a research scientist at the National Cancer Institute in Bethesda, Maryland, and a former member of the Cantley Lab.
He really thinks outside the box. The way he thinks about science, the way he notices details, the way he asks questions that nobody even noticed that were questions to begin with, is probably one of the reasons he has made so many seminal and unexpected discoveries.
According to Luke Cantley, his ability to ask the right questions comes from his upbringing in Big Chimney, West Virginia.
It's a small little community. Everybody knew everybody there. I spent most of my early days, certainly in the 50s, right where Cooper's Creek joins the Elk River Road, up on the hill, a little house up there, with my sister, Linda, a year older, and my two younger brothers, Larry and Lloyd.
When Clayton and I got married, we lived in the house. You can see it, but I can't
tell. Oh, it's up there on the hill?
Up on that hill.
Yeah.
We bought a house up there.
Lou Cantley's mother, Clarice, and his older sister, Linda, took me to the house.
Okay, this little one here is the first one that you lived in, right here?
That was the little World War II house.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one,
he built that one from
scratch, that one.
Lewis's father, Clayton Cantley, who died in 2005, started working as a machine operator at Union Carbide, then moved up to work in their latex paint lab.
What was great about my father was, even though he never went to college, he was a natural scientist. He absolutely was curious about everything and understood things very rapidly. Everything I didn't understand, I would ask him and he'd explain it to me. And then when he got to working at Carbide and started explaining how he made polymers and so forth, he explained all that to me too. And so I got a degree in chemistry by the time I was 12 years old from my dad without him ever going to college.
All four Cantley children were straight A students. They all went to Herbert Hoover High School and then to West Virginia Wesleyan College on academic scholarships. They all graduated at the top or very near the top of their class. Lewis Cantley claims that older sister Linda was the leader of the pack, a big sister that the brothers followed. Today, the two younger brothers are both doctors and scientists, Larry at Wake Forest University in North Carolina and Lloyd at Yale University in Connecticut. Their father's curiosity about everything was a huge influence in their success.
But I'd say equally important, and maybe even more important, was my mother's role. When I was about 11, I think it was, she decided to go to college. So she had been an outstanding student in high school, graduated top of her class, but got married immediately after graduating. So with four kids between the ages of 3.5 and 12, she decided to go to college. She managed to graduate in 4 years, magna cum laude from Morris Harvey, now University of Charleston. But during that time, she would do her homework at home, and we'd be sitting with her as she's doing her homework, and we'd help her study.
Actually, they would ask me questions, you know. So they were getting some college ideas, you know, from the beginning.
You needed study partners.
Yes.
And you used your children.
I did. I really did.
So by the time she graduated college, we had all had essentially a college degree.
Chaps Fork Road. An old man up in here named Chap Teal owned a property up at the very end of the hollow.
We ultimately moved from Big Chimney up to Chaps Fork, where my grandparents lived forever, and you know, allowed us to help out with them as they got older. But it also allowed us to learn all the things that they knew, farming and just about life in general. We built a house on the same farm.
This was all our property. Grandpa Cantley raised corn and, you know, all that good stuff.
And Dad mowed all of this. Mm-hmm.
Right over there is our house.
This is the second house that Clayton Cantley built with the help of his sons and nephews.
And this house was sort of like one of these Tom Sawyer deals. You know, we only had a certain amount of money to build this house. And my dad would pay him $1 a day, you know, but they wanted, you know, they even when we ran out of money, they still wanted to work on the house, you know, because they were learning stuff. We learned how to do everything. We wired the house, we plumbed the house, we laid the concrete, we put the cinder blocks in place. So by the time that was done, there was nothing that happens in a house that we didn't all know how to do.
Dad taught the boys how to make just about anything, how to fix things. They could fix an entire engine on a car. Dad taught the boys how to change the brakes on the car and how to change the carburetor and all those things.
And Linda claims that Lewis is a natural leader.
Lewis has a self-confidence about himself that he has always had. Lewis lives in a world of possibilities, and he is one of those people who not only does he not follow the drummer that everybody else follows, but he doesn't even hear it. He hears his own drummer.
And I categorize the P10 mutations into intact, no evidence of mutation.
No mutation, yeah.
Back in Boston, Lou Cantley gets an update on Dr. Andrea Meyer's clinical trials.
And then truncations, so frame shifts or exon mutations.
A member of the Cantley lab, she's both a cancer doctor and a research geneticist.
In the scientific community, Lou is known as an exceptionally bright scientist and probably one of the best biochemists in the world. I've always been fascinated by the way that Lou thinks about problems related to chemical biology. It sort of seems to me that he is sitting inside of a cell looking at the way that proteins actually interact. He really is thinking on a very, very molecular level, always wondering, how does this work?
Myers is part of what is called Lewis Cantley's Dream Team. Funded to the tune of $15 million by the charity Stand Up to Cancer, the Dream Team consists of groups of scientists at some of the world's best cancer research centers. They're focused on speeding up discoveries in cancer research, from the bench to the bedside. Lewis Cantley believes his West Virginia roots have given him the confidence to succeed.
When I look at the work ethic that I had growing up, the support from the family, and not being surrounded by people from very wealthy families who had opportunities to go straight into terrific programs with lots of money. I didn't even know anybody like that, so it wasn't like I felt like there was anybody out there who was likely to have a better advantage than I did. You know, as I went from West Virginia on to Cornell and then Harvard, I found that the confidence that I had still remained. I could figure out things as easily as almost anybody else. So I think there was a confidence that I had in growing up there.
Dr. G. Luo believes that confidence has enabled Lewis Cantley to become one of the world's most creative scientists.
The discoveries he made really changed how people think about the way the cell works and really have opened up entirely new fields.
Do you think he'll win a Nobel Prize for it?
I certainly hope so, because I think his discovery is incredibly seminal. And, you know, he's still making incredible discoveries at neck-breaking pace. If you look at Lou, you realize that he grew up on a farm in West Virginia, and his dad was a big influence on getting him into science. And he has made this incredible journey, and I think if you love what you do and if you put your heart to it, there's no limit to what you can do.
For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Jean Snediger.